Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com. A few months ago, Bob told me that I needed to start preaching. And so when we were putting together the calendar and they said, okay, well, the first free night at the meeting place is in June, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the Tuesday right after Ignite. I am going to be a blubbering mess. I'm going to be tired and exhausted. And instead of saying that, I looked at Christy and I was like, oh, the 14th? All right, well, I guess God's going to give me a testimony to share. And now here I am with a testimony. So I want to share it with you. Revelations 11:12, all of you are familiar with this, but it says they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So may my testimony tonight encourage you and uplift you. So a little bit of a background for me. My father is an ordained preacher and my mother is a school teacher. She's joining me tonight, which makes me really nervous. So they have, you know, like, both have master's degree. They have over 50 years experience preaching and teaching. And I was praying to God about this, you know, like, oh Lord, this is a big mantle to carry. This is a lot for a little girl like me. And the Lord just said, it's okay, because with a teacher and a preacher, you're just going to be a long-winded storyteller. And I was like, that is perfect for me. I love telling stories. And then I was asking the Lord, but why? Why stories? Why can't I be a fire teacher? Why can't I be like, you know, preach the word with authority and just let the Spirit flow? And he was like, well, my grace and my power is in the story. It's in the testimony of what you're sharing. So I was encouraged by that. Some more background, for me and my family, we've been in and out of Voice Ministries since 2003. We've journeyed along the way, and we've left for a season, we've come back. And I guess I would say probably in 2011, Conan and I, my husband, we were working in the children's ministry at the Grand Horizon Center. And I noticed that I was starting to get really sick. And I was starting to get physically sick a lot. I remember one day I was having to just wear this electric TENS unit up the back, up my back, and I would hide it in my pocket, you know, right here. I'd wear like a baggy shirt like this so nobody would see that I had this big thing in my pocket. And I would walk around the children's ministry like this. Hi. So nice that you came today. Oh, God loves you. You know, but all the while just in a lot of pain. And I was holding Jonah's spear in the nursery, and as long as I sat in a rocking chair and I sat in one position, I was good with my pain. And one morning, a mother walks in with two carriers, two newborn, brand new babies, and she comes right in the door, and she's so happy, and she sets them right down, and she's like, where do I sign in? And I just smiled, and I welcomed her, and I gave her that awesome greeting, and all the while, I am thinking, Lord, I can't even carry this one baby I have. Now I have two, now I have three, and I'm finding my phone in my purse, and I'm texting my husband, I need you in the nursery now! You know, !911, all that stuff. But it was evident on that day that this was a dangerous situation. This wasn't a situation where I needed to be holding babies. And I didn't need to be pushing my body as much as I was pushing. And it was hard. It was hard to write that letter to Bob saying, I'm sick and I need to step down. So the struggle was real. And the struggle is real. And I want to just tell you, I have been a Christian since I have been in my mother's womb. And the struggle is real. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through a testing. Sometimes we go through deserts. Sometimes we climb up mountains. Sometimes we climb up mountains more than once. And even though I stand and I believe and I stand and I believe, sometimes life is just hard because there's sin. And because, well, I'm still sinful too. So shortly after we had stepped down from the children's ministry, I felt like everything in my life had changed. You know, I felt like I lost my job. I lost my, you know, the ministry aspect of everything. I was sick and I was in bed most days. We moved to Napanee, so I didn't have voice as a church family that I was coming to regularly. And Conan was really working with me, like, Amy, you need to get a food allergy test. You need to find out what's really wrong with you. You need to work on getting better. And I remember just telling him, I've given up everything. I've given up my career and my job. I've given up the babies. I've given up the children's ministry. And I'm not giving up food. And I just put my foot down. And I probably ate a chocolate bar. That's probably how desperate I was. I don't know. But I just remember him so passionately begging me to get some help. And I was just like, no, this was the last piece of myself and my crutch and my support other than God that was left. So after a year of struggling, 80% of every day in my bed, I would get up in the morning, I would get my kids to school. They were, you know, young, junior high age, so they could do things by themselves, and I'd put on a happy face. I would get dressed, and the minute they left for school, I was back in bed. I got up at 3 when they came home. I did everything I could just to fix a homemade dinner. That was my goal every day, fix a homemade dinner for your family. And then after 6 or so, I would just veg out on the couch and just try to maintain. So it was a long, sad journey for me in that time. And I remember the Lord speaking to me. He showed me this picture of a book. And the book was wide open, and all of a sudden, a huge section of pages just turned. And I was like, yeah, that's right, God. Everything has changed. Like, it wasn't just a page in my life had turned, but an entire section had turned and changed. And everything I was needing to do was different. My whole routine was different. My lifestyle was different. Now that I finally did go and get the food allergy test, we found out that I was allergic and negatively responding to 36 common foods. So I had to give up things like chicken and eggs and pineapple and wheat and dairy and cayenne pepper and really ridiculous things. And I spent a year of just trying to be in the kitchen learning how to cook differently, all the while being really mad at God that I was in this place. The testing further showed that pretty much what had happened was I have an overactive immune system. So praise God, I just don't get sick. And that's why being in this journey was so hard. I wasn't used to being sick. I didn't really get a cough or a cold very often. I didn't come down with the flu very often. So now I was in this journey of chronic pain. And what my body was doing is my immune system was overactive. So it would attack the food on a cellular level. It actually thought that these certain foods were enemies, foreign bodies, and so it would just attack the food on a cellular level, and it would just leave my body in pain, inflammation, nerve problems, muscle aches, and things like that all the time. It's hard to explain when you're chronically sick. It's hard to explain it to people because this is what I look like. You know, you put on the happy face and you keep going. And I was continuing to go to church. I was continuing to sing in the house of prayer, even if it was just for 2 hours, and then I laid down. You know, I was just determined to at least have a stance in the house of prayer somewhere. You know, I was determined that that aspect of my life was not going to change. I remember when we were in the Grand Horizon Center. Okay, those of you who are old timers who remember the Grand Horizon Center, do you remember the big risers that were in the children's room that were all shag teal carpet, like 4 feet wide? Okay, those were perfect to lay on when I was just overpressed. And I would just be like, oh, just get me to the teal carpet. Just get me to the teal carpet. I would lay down on those. Fun stories. I just remember through my journey, like my IHOP team members noticing that, seeing my health failing, people coming around me and praying for me, my own family, my husband contending for me, my kids contending for me. You know, sometimes at our dinners, my husband is, well, let me back up. My beautiful daughter, Jordan, when she was in her younger teenage years, sometimes she would complain about all the not so nice people in her life at dinner. So my husband, after several nights of listening to just, you know, the teenager being upset about all the bad things her friend did during school, he finally said, okay, new rule in the house. When we come together for dinner, we're going to talk about one win. So we're not going to talk about this negative stuff anymore. We're going to talk about one win. And so we started going around person to person every night, telling them, you know, telling each other our wins for the day. And sometimes my wins were like, I took a shower today and I made you dinner, you know, and that was it. And everybody be like, yeah, mom, you know. So, and I'm sharing this with you so that you see the struggle, so that you understand that I was still following the Lord. I was still contending for healing. I had friends who were praying for me, but that life was just a little bit hard in a season that was a little bit hard. So all of this leads me up to this week. So now you guys know how severe maybe some things were in my life, physically speaking. So I'm on the leadership team now here at the House of Prayer, and we were organizing this Ignite event last week. And it was this awesome six-day? I don't know. I was here for 10, so I don't even know where it stopped and started. Of the team from IHOP Kansas City coming in and just pouring into us and teaching us about why we pray and why we worship and why we sing and just encouraging us. And 4 days before the event, Bob is like, Amy, I need you to take the lead on this. And I panicked and I got mad. Confession. And I got really angry. Because I had put up parameters to keep me safe, and I did not take the lead on this assignment on purpose because there was no way my physical body could have handled something like this. And so the first day of Ignite, I was spinning, literally, probably, because everybody's like, Amy. And I'm like, I don't know the answers. I just took over 4 days ago. I don't know. In my mind, I was thinking that. So Dave Raymer comes up to me Sunday, and this is where I want to expand my testimony into a really key point that the Lord was showing me, that sometimes healing, especially a chronic issue, a long-term pain thing, it takes the body of Christ functioning together to contend for healing. Sometimes it's not just me praying. Sometimes it's not just my family praying. Sometimes it takes the body. And I do want to bring in some scripture because that is what a good preacher's daughter does. So with that in mind, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans with me. And I want to read from Romans chapter 15, verse 30. And I'm going to read from two different versions just because I like to that way and because the two different versions really spoke to me in really cool ways. Romans 15:30, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. And when Paul wrote this, he was having to go into Judea where there were unbelievers. And I don't want to say that Paul was fearful, but I know in my situation, I was fearful to meet this task of running Ignite. And he was saying, you know, to his fellow brethren, hey, pray for me. This is a big deal. I think I might struggle. I think my life might be in danger if I preach the gospel, if I share Jesus. The Message translation says, I have one request, dear friends, pray for me. Pray strenuously with me and for me to God the Father through our Master Jesus, through the love of the Spirit, that I will be delivered from the lion's den of unbelievers in Judea. So I just have a quick question for you. Do you need to be delivered from the lion's den of unbelievers? I had a lot of unbelievers in my life. Number one, my doctor. listening to doctors tell you what's wrong with you, say that, well, it's not this, it might be this. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to listen to that. It's hard to say, yes, I received that horrible diagnosis. Thank you so much. Sometimes you just want to say, and we do have a lovely doctor in the front. I'm so sorry. This is not her. If you want to come to Dr. Rochelle's practice, she is a believer and a doctor. My doctor specifically was not as God-fearing as she is. So I'll put that plug in. Phone number, anything I should share? No? Okay. Sorry. But my doctor I was dealing with was not a believer. You know, the angle from which he came was, well, we could put you on some antidepressants. And I was like, antidepressants are not going to help my cells. Like, I have a problem in my body and things like that. Sometimes unbelievers are even friends and family. Maybe they don't walk with the Lord. Maybe they're not contending for you for healing. Maybe they're part of the chronic pain, the emotional stress, the nagging that weighs you down when you're trying to get better. Maybe they're people who don't want to be your cheerleaders. Maybe there are people who are just like, get over yourself. You look fine on the outside. You know, if I had a dollar for everybody who said that to me, wow. Man, I could support myself in the house of prayer right now if that was the truth. I should have been collecting. So I'm just wondering tonight, I don't know, is there anybody who feels like they've been kind of through that desert season? Maybe you're even battling with chronic pain, chronic illness. Maybe you've had a struggle in your life where you're saying, yeah, this has kind of been like a desert season for me. And I kind of feel like I've been thrown into the lion's den of unbelievers. Paul also writes in Romans, he says that he couldn't wait, I believe it's verse 32, that he couldn't wait to get back to his fellow believers, to be in the light, to share in the light, something like that. I'm just trying to remember it. And it was interesting, even in his journey and in his letter that he's writing, he's saying, I have to go to this dark place where people might even like kill me for what I'm speaking, but I can't wait to come back around and to share with my brethren what has happened. Are you someone's brethren tonight? I don't know, in the body of Christ, if you see these people who are struggling, if you know that someone's going through a job change, if someone's going through a difficult desert season, are you willing to be the brethren that they can't wait to get home to? Just to, sometimes in our season of distress, we just need something positive around us. We need to know that our brothers and our sisters are praying for us. We need to know that there's that light of Jesus at the end of the tunnel, no matter what. It helps us. And I think that that's what God wants the bride of Christ to be. He wants us to be supporting one another, no matter the season, whether it's gold and sparkly and colorful or whether it's kind of dark and dreary. He wants us to be supporting one another. So this is my journey of all my brethren. Let me roll up my sleeves. Sunday of Ignite, Dave Raymer comes to me and he says, God says it's going to be okay. And I was like, yeah, sure, Dave. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's a nice, profound, simple little word. It's going to be okay. All right. Well, we need 20 more workers. Okay. You know, I was just very rude and sarcastic in my mind because the enemy had already told me that this was too much. So by Sunday night, I'm crying on the way home, and I talked to Bob, and I kind of gave it to him, and he was so nice to listen, and then he said, come on, sis, you can do it, and that was even encouraging. I'm in my car, pull in the driveway, and I'm just bawling, and Ashlyn, my 16-year-old daughter, just puts her hand on my shoulder, and she starts praying. She says, get this anger out of my mom. Get this anger out of my mom. Mom, when you wake up in the morning, there's going to be no anger. No anger in Jesus' name. And every day you wake up, there's going to be no anger. And the next day, there's going to be joy. There's going to be joy. There's going to be more joy in Jesus' name. And Ashlyn is like this. I love you. you're so awesome. Like, she's got the most compassionate, tender heart. But this warrior prayer came out of her. And I was just like, wow. So then my husband, he notices that the car's been parked and running in the garage for a while. He comes out. He sees we're praying. He doesn't even question. He doesn't ask. He jumps in the back seat, stretches forward a hand, and starts praying too. And that was just such a blessing to me, even that my family is coming around me when I am breaking down. So we go through Ignite. And there's tons of prophetic words spoken over, tons. There was a prophetic word, or a word of knowledge, I should say, about the issue of blood, which is an issue I deal with. One lady said, I feel like the Lord's saying you have a cellular imbalance, which was completely true. Stan Dedka comes over and prays with me, and he says, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you can eat whatever you want. And I just was like, wow. I've never even thought of that. I never even thought of that as being part of my breakthrough. Like, and I just, I have so many people that were praying for me, like the Teen Challenge guys. I think I've been on your prayer list for like months because I cried on Paul's shoulder one night and I just was like, this is what's going on. And he's like, oh, that's nothing. I'm like, no, it's really bad. He's like, oh, that's nothing. I'll put you on the prayer list. And even Tommy, I appreciate Tommy so much, even seeing the angel of comfort over me months ago when I was really struggling with my health and being able to speak that into me, that no matter what, God was still comforting me. As Ignite went on, I was working 10 hours straight, 12 hours straight, up to 14 hours in the prayer room. I couldn't sing for 2 hours like a year before. I couldn't maintain a job. I couldn't hold down anything, even part-time. And I was like, the strength was just in me. Tuesday night, I noticed there's no water bottles in the cooler. And I was just like, okay, well, I'll just go get some. I walked all the way to the back, took the case of water, hoisted it up on my shoulder. I'm walking down the hallway. I'm like, holy crap, I'm carrying water bottles. Like, oh my gosh, like I can't even mow my grass. I'm in so much pain and I'm carrying water bottles. And I just doinked them on the cart and I'm like, yeah. And Corey was in there and he goes, oh, you need help with those? Corey knows nothing about what was going on with me. And I was like, nope, I don't. And I was so excited. Wednesday morning, I wake up. I wake up even before my alarm clock goes off, and I'm just happy. It's like that prayer that Ashlyn prayed every day, the joy of the Lord would be increased. I'm just so happy, and I sit in my bathroom because that's where everybody meets with the Lord, you know, in the bathroom. And it just hits me. Amy, you just woke up and got out of bed with no pain. You didn't roll out of bed. You didn't stretch out of bed. And I just started weeping. Yeah. As my African friends would do. Yes. Yes. And Lydia, I know we are new friends, but I love that you sang in Swahili today. It was so awesome. It was so awesome. In fact, side note from the preaching, I felt like the Lord has an assignment for you and that within the next 30 days, the nations are going to open up in a greater way to you. Like something is going to be connected. Something that your heart's been waiting for a long, long time is just going to open up suddenly. So I just thank God for the suddenly in your life. And I thank you for the vessel that you are. I thank you for the gift to the nations that you are. I bless you in your intercession. You are a woman of high rank when it comes to the kingdom of God. And I bless you in that, in Jesus' name. Well, we could probably just prophesy for a little bit. But no. I'm freaking my mom out right now. Okay. So Wednesday morning, I have this moment in the bathroom with Jesus, and I'm just praying. I'm thanking God. I'm like, this is what energy feels like. This is what stamina feels like. This is what no pain feels like. And I'm just so excited. I was the first one here at the House of Prayer, and I'm making coffee. And I stink at making coffee. I've never drank it, and this is like the fourth day in a row. I know the coffee's really going to suck. And we have a lot of coffee snobs in this ministry, but I don't even care. I'm just like happy pouring the coffee even. I'm just happy pouring the coffee. And I run out to the parking lot, and I see Stan Dudka coming in for our 9 a.m. meeting, and he's like this. Because it's day like 3 now, you know, so everybody's tired. And I just jump up in his face and I'm like, Stan, I ate chicken last night. And he knew because he's one of my brethren that has said, I will pray with you through Judea. He knew what that meant. He knew that I have not been able to eat chicken for the last 4.5 years. Without having a negative effect on my body. And he just hugged me, and we jumped up and down. And that morning, I was just sharing with everybody, even in our leadership meeting. I was like, look what I can do. And I was jumping and bouncing. And Corey's like, still confused by all this. He's like, she couldn't do that before? And everybody's like, no, she couldn't. So it was just a great day of celebrating what God has done in my life. And I'm just excited to see what the next chapter is with me personally, with the Lord. But, you know, obviously this is just an awesome testimony for me. I'm excited. It allows me to share Jesus in a greater way. It increases my faith, and I hope it increases yours. But the one question is, how much more effective is my testimony because now I've shared it all with you? How much more effective is my pain, my struggle, now that you see what has happened? How much more effective is this celebration because I was able to share it with my brethren? Because I did have people in my corner that were praying for me and contending. The celebration was huge. It wasn't just me and my husband that went, yay. You know, it was a whole family now that is rejoicing because we've contended in prayer. So I just want to open up the altar this evening. And if there is a person who says, you know what, I'm kind of in that desert place. Maybe it's with chronic illness. Maybe it's just with some emotional distress that you've been feeling. Maybe it's just a season that's just plain been hard. And you need some brethren around you to help hold you up and uplift you. I just invite you to come forward as we let the worship team just lead us in some music. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, God. I thank you for the celebration, the victory, God, but I also see the struggle. God, we know what struggle's like, some of us more than others. God, let us be the brethren that you want us to be. God, allow us to pray for our brothers and sisters. God, allow us to be the believers that believe in faith for healing. Allow us to be the believers that don't sit down when it gets hard, but stand strong for their friends who are suffering. God, let us point all this back to you. Let us point all of this back to you, God, that you are the great physician. You are the great healer. Everything is in your timing. Everything is by your plan, God. Let us trust in that.
Surrender, 'cause I wanna know you. I wanna know you. I surrender, 'cause I surrender, 'cause I wanna know you.
We're going to keep worshiping for just a few more minutes. We're going to leave the altar open, but if you need to go, bless you in Jesus' name. We'll see you next week for the meeting place.